evangelist, a young minister. Paul had told him not to let no man despise a youth. And evidently, probably Timothy was a sickly feller. I know Paul told him, said, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. So he had probably had some stomach problems, sickly. And he writes to this young man, this young evangelist, a preacher. But the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, if you read this book, or the both of them, I believe it's wrote to the church as a whole. And I believe that's the spiritual application, or the doctrinal application of 1st and 2nd Timothy is to the body of Christ. And there are some doctrines that's found in the church, Timothy, that if you read them, you can see what's going on today. And for instance, before we look in chapter 4, verse 1, before we read in chapter 3, but look in chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now I believe that's apostasy. And the word apostasy means falling down from a standing position. There was people at one time that stood for the faith, but they fell by the wayside. They're fallen down. They're no longer standing for the truth of right division and the truth of what Paul stood for. You'll find verse 2, these doctrines of devils is speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Now these are the people that's some of their doctrines have commanded to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Verse 6, but thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. Now look down in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Don't depart from the faith. The faith is the doctrine. The faith that we see in the context has to do with that, the doctrine that God gave to the body of Christ through the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it down. And this faith is back there in verse, I don't have time to go through all that. Well, in fact, look over in 2 Timothy. Hang on to chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, I know that gospel is the gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He calls it my gospel, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentile. The whole thing that he's talking about is the testimony of the Lord. Back in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And this testimony is the gospel of Christ. This testimony is Him saving us, our calling in Christ, the abolishing of the death and brought life and immortality to light, to knowledge, through the gospel that's revealed to Paul. Folks, the faith that men depart from is the doctrine that God gave the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it down in Romans 2, Philemon, for the body of Christ. And in preachers today, instead of preaching the testimony of the Lord, instead of preaching what Jesus Christ testifies to the body of Christ, His body, they're preaching what He testified to the nation of Israel, and it has nothing to do with you. And it can't build you up in the words of faith. It can't establish you. It can't bring to light immortality and the gospel. It can't give you life. And on the thing goes. And back in 1 Timothy now. Notice what he says in verse 16, chapter 4. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, that would be the faith, the testimony of the Lord. Continue in them, the doctrine, more than one. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy was a saved man. Timothy was already saved, had soul salvation. Timothy was saved by the grace of God, established, went with Paul. So what's he talking about salvation? Thou shalt then doing this, continuing in the doctrine. Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, his congregation, the people that's listening to him preaching. What's he going to save them from? The only thing that'll save people today from the apostasy of verse 1 and giving heed to seducing spirits is the doctrine revealed through the Apostle Paul, and you can take that to the bank. You say, well, there's other doctrines? Well, of course there are. We're going to get to chapter 3 in a minute, but look in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, notice the minds, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Is there simplicity in Christ Jesus? God, there's nothing complicated about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing complicated about salvation in Christ. Everyone that's under the sound of my voice, if you're old enough to realize sin and being a sinner, you're either saved or you're lost. There's no middle ground. And it's simple. But the serpent, it was simple for Eve in the garden. God simply said, eat of that fruit, fruit, you die. You live, you don't. Now, you can't get much simpler than that. So what did the devil do? He complicated the matter. Hath God said, thou shalt not surely die. But God knows that the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall be like gods. You'll be a god. He's holding back something from you. It's more to it than that. How many times have you said all or heard all of these things, and it complicates and muddies the water when it's just as clear and cut dry as it can be? He that hath the Son hath what? Let me ask you, did you have him today? Who's your Savior? You've got a Savior or you don't. You're either saved or you're lost. You've trusted Christ as your Savior or you haven't. Amen. Nothing complicated about it. Now, religion makes it. But look what he said. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now here's how he does it. For if he that cometh preacheth another what? Another Jesus. Are they other Jesuses? Yep. They sure are. I was listening on the news, and I don't watch much news. I get bent out of shape, but so I don't watch. But I was watching, and that shroud, the torrent or whatever, the shroud there. Now I want to ask you something. You reckon that Jesus Christ was the only man that ever been crucified and somebody threw a sheet over him and took him out and buried him? They're worried about some sheet that's got the picture of some... You know God Almighty, he knew what man would do. They'd make an idol out of anything. I was thinking about that thing. No wonder the Lord put all of that in there. I mean, man would worship anything. That's why the tree of life was taken up. That's why the real ark of the covenant is out yonder somewhere. Man would make an idol out of it. Complicate everything. Preach about worrying about a man in the flesh. Paul said, we don't know Christ after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. You don't know Christ after the flesh. You know him spiritually. You know him as the man Christ Jesus that died for your sins, and he was buried and rose the third day, and he's seated in heaven, and he's the head of the body. He's my Savior. I've never seen him, but I will. Now, look what he says. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, they're preaching him right now, whom we have not preached. If you preach Jesus in the kingdom, preaching another Jesus. Paul didn't preach Jesus and the light of the kingdom message. Preach another gospel, preaching another Jesus. Paul didn't preach Jesus that way. Preach man, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, preaching another Jesus. Why? Paul didn't preach Jesus that way. Look what he said. Cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or receive another spirit which ye have not received. Another spirit? Sure. Spirits which ye have not received, or another gospel? Another gospel? Sure, there's other. Robbie covered. There's gospel of the king. There's several gospels in this Bible. There's the everlasting gospel. I mean the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God. You say, well, they all mean the same thing. If you read sixth grade English, you know they don't mean the same thing. There's only one gospel for today, that's the power of God unto salvation. What is that gospel? What is that good news? That Christ died for your sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day according to the scripture. Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's good news to you. Why? You don't have no other Savior. And if you don't have a Savior, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. Can't get much simpler than that, can you? He that hath the Son hath life. Said, well, I don't know if I had enough faith. Well, how much faith do you need? How do you measure faith? Faith now is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible. What is faith? Taking God at His word, if you want to just simplify it. Believe what God said. Well, what did God say about you? That you're an old sinner. You don't have no hope outside of Christ. There's no way you can save yourself. You can't get good enough. You can't do good works enough. You can't join enough churches. You can't be baptized enough. I mean, folks, if Jesus Christ don't do it, you're a hell-bound sinner as sure as you're sitting in them pews. You say, God said that? He sure did. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You're born in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. You are born, you're a sinner by birth, you're a sinner by choice. I mean, you live a life of sin. You're a sinful individual, you know that. You're so sinful, Paul said, after he'd been saved 25 years in Romans 7:20, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And you got an old vile body. You know that? God said that. So, well, God don't think much of me, does he? Not in your flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. What is in the flesh? Trying to do good. Trying to keep the law in the flesh. Trying to honor God in the flesh. Can't do it. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Or what is being in the Spirit? Being in the body of Christ. Well, what's being in the body of Christ? You're resting. You're not trying to do nothing. You're just saved by the grace of God. Simplicity. The gospel. Taking God at His word. I'm a sinner. What else is there? Christ died for who? Sinners. Amen? Wasn't that what he says? Why are you there in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Look in verse 10. One of my favorite verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of how many people? Is He the Savior of all? Then the whole world saved? Got to read the rest of the verse, haven't you? Who is He the Savior to? He's the Savior of all, especially of those that what? That are baptized, join a church, keep the law, golden rule. What? Believe? Got to be more to it than that, Paul.
I gotta help God out. I gotta do something, Lord. I don't feel saved if I don't do something.
Well, I don't feel saved a lot of days. You? A lot of days I don't feel saved. It ain't got nothing to do with feelings, folks. It's got to do with what you believe. You know, look over in 2 Timothy a moment. I'll get to where I'm going, but I'm having so much fun, I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. You know, what he said there in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who hath what? Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our good looks. Oh. Well, we look so good, I thought I'd have to try to get that through. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. God had a purpose in saving you, and it's according to His purpose and grace that He saved you. It had nothing to do, and listen to you, your salvation has nothing to do with you. God didn't save you because you looked good or you're rich or He knew you was going to serve. He knew you'd trust Christ as His Son. He knew you'd trust Him, and Him by His foreknowledge, He purposed some things about you. Isn't that wonderful? And I think about all of these things and people trying to get things. Trying to serve the Lord. Trying to live by the golden rule to be pleasing to God. My works someday, if I have more good works than I got bad works, then God will let me in. No, He won't. Sorry. How you going to get to where He's at? By being in Christ. How you going to get in Christ? By receiving Him as your Savior. Now, to our text. Chapter 3. Notice in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now that house is not brick, block, wood. It's not. Not talking about some physical structure that we build. This building here is not the house of God. God don't dwell in buildings made with hands. It's called the house of God by all day long, but it's not the house of God. This is not a holy building. It is a sanctified building. It has been set apart for us to come together and meet together in this building, and by the gracious giving of God's people and their money, time, and support, we were able to build a building to get us in out of the weather, the rain, the cold, and the heat, and where we can fellowship and come together as members of the body of Christ. But it's not a holy sanctuary. It's not the house of God. It's not. But here's a house. And he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. God wants you to have some good behavior. Say, well, what house is he talking about? Well, hang on there and come back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Or chapter 2, I'm sorry. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Okay? God's got a house. And in that house, he has a household. And that household is people. Verse 2, 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that is not the 12, because this household, Paul said, I laid the foundation. That's Paul and the other apostles and prophets, and we'll look at that a little later. In fact, while you're there, just look in chapter 4. Notice in chapter 4, verse 9, now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's the Lord. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Something had to be filled up. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Well, who did he give it to? Well, look back in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. That's a quotation of Psalms. And that is not the Old Testament saint, and all the saints is in the heart of the earth. No, he's talking about the body. And those that are captive, he took them up. We're seated together in heavenly places right now. Now look. He gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Those gifts are men, and he gave them unto gifts unto men, and there are apostles and prophets, there are evangelists and pastors and teachers. Folks, there are apostles that God had in the body of Christ. There are prophets that he had in the body of Christ, and Paul was one of them. And there was Titus, and there was Timothy, and all of those. Back in chapter 2, now therefore you're no more strangers nor foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And people say that there's no, that the body of Christ is not spiritual. That it's a local assembly. They're nuts. I mean, there's how many bodies? How many? Well, if there's more than one, if the church is local assemblies, how many local assemblies are there in Yagan and Iredell County? Huh? There's a bunch, aren't they? And there ain't none of them holy. But look what he said, in whom all the building fitly framed to gather groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. They're a part of that building. He's right telling them that they're a part of the building. Well, what are they a part of? Back in verse 6. Notice in chapter 3, verse 6. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same, what? Body. One body. Partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. In other words, they get saved, they're part of that body of Christ. The body of Christ, it's a spiritual body. You can't see it, feel it, touch it, or handle it. It's a spiritual body. I hope all of you are in there, but I can't tell. Only way I can tell that you're in that body is by what comes out of your mouth as a testimony. But I don't know. Now, back in the passage, He gave gifts unto men. And those apostles, they're built on. Now, back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but if thou tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, then there is some behavior that you're to be in this body. In other words, there's some rules, so to speak, of your actions in the body toward the other members of the body of Christ. You got to know how to behave yourself. Amen? And so, He says, which is the what? He tells you in the verse what the house is, which is the what? The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, verse 16 is a reference, and you can use it as the Lord Jesus Christ. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, right? Now, can you separate? Well, you can. Your head from your body and still be a functional person. If you're talking about part of my body, are you talking about me? If I turn around and write on the board and you say, Brian is using mop and glow on the back of his head, are you talking about me? We say, no, I'm just talking about the back of your head. I'm just trying to get you to see you can't separate no part of your body from another part. It all makes up one body. Right? Now, look at this thing about it. Verse 16, in the context, he's talking about what? The house of God, is he not? Verse 16, without controversy. Great is the mystery of what? Where is godliness at? What is godliness? Well, you say it's godlike. Well, where in the world is something in this world that's called an evil world godlike? There you go, Winston. It would be the church. The body of Christ. The mystery of godliness is the only place that there is godliness is in the house of God, which is the church of God. Now watch how this thing goes. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You say, well, that's Christ. Sure, you can say it's Christ. When you're talking about His body, you're talking about Him, are you not?
Can you separate the head from the body? No. Folks, where's God manifest at today? Where's the head? It's in heaven, isn't it? Paul said we're seated with Him in heavenly places. I mean, He ascended back up far above all heavens. He's up yonder. The head, He's not on this earth. So where can God be manifest today, Paul? Through those that are saved. God's manifest in the flesh. The flesh is your old body. You manifest the work of the Lord. You, when you testify and do the work of the Lord, you're manifesting God and His grace. I hope y'all can see this. I'm working really hard to get you to see it. If I set myself on fire, would that help? Look what he said. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is that mystery that God would save people by His grace, put His Spirit within that flesh, and then manifest Himself through their old flesh. Right? Now watch it. Justified in the Spirit. You say, whoa. Well, look at it. Hang on there and come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that covers about everything, don't it? And such were some of you. But ye are what? Washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, the washing, the sanctifying, and the justified is done by the Spirit of God. Back in the passage, justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Well, they're looking at you. They don't understand the grace. You see, they couldn't live like you and get by. And I'm not saying you live bad. And I'm not saying you can just do anything you want to do. No, no, no. If you're really saved and love the Lord, you'll want to serve Him. But you'll serve Him out of love for what He's done for you instead of out of fear. That's the way it is with a marriage relationship. You ought to do for each other, not because you're afraid of getting knocked in the head if you don't, but out of being out of love for one another. That's what love is. It's motivated by doing something for each other. It's working for each other. Why? Because you love them. That's why you ought to serve the Lord. It's because He loved you and He saved you and give you eternal life. Not because you're afraid, but because you love Him for what He's done for you. There ain't no service going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ that don't have that as a motive. But look what he says. Justified in the seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Well, when did that happen? Well, who was sent to the Gentiles? Paul. Believed on in the world. Well, was Christ believed on in the world when he was here? They nailed him to a cross.
and received up unto glory. That's the rapture of the church. Folks, he's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the house of God. These things right here, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. When the thing's full, we're going to be received up like he was received up. He ascended up, and we're going to ascend up someday. Except we're going in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, my time is gone, but I'm going to give you these, and you think about them. I have 5 goals for a church. I think the deacons probably know what they are. I have 5 goals. I don't ask no ground on these goals, and I don't give no ground on these goals. 5 simple little things about this church. Charity Bible Church. Charity Bible Church is a place where the gospel will be preached so the lost can be saved. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The number one goal of this church is not to have a place to gather to social. Now, we will not be known for our great congregation and choir singing. Not that you can't sing good, I think you can. But the Lord hadn't provided us, you know, I don't want to be known for that. My goal is not to pack this auditorium full and to be a booming church to brag about. What is my goal? Number one, a place where the gospel will be preached. Where you can bring somebody here that's lost and have confidence they'll hear what Christ has done for them. A place where you can bring your children and they can sit under the gospel and you have confidence that they will hear the truth of what Christ did and they can be saved someday. That's the greatest gift you can give your child. Do you know that? People spend $120 for a pair of Reeboks or whatever, tennis shoes to get scuffed up and everything, and they never ever think about their souls. The most important thing in anybody's life is hearing the gospel and believing it and being saved by the grace of God. That's our number one goal. Number 2, Charity Bible Church, my number 2 goal is it's a place where the saved will be built up and equipped for the right job. You saved, you got a job to do in the body of Christ. You saved, you got a function to do in the body of Christ. One of the greatest passages in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the eye can't say to the ear, thou hast no need of me, and one part of the body say to the other part, we don't have no need of thee. But every member has a need for all members, and this is the place where I want the people to come that are saved can be equipped to do the job that God put them in the body to do. How do we do that? By rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I read you the passage. He gave evangelists, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body, the work of the ministry. The word perfect there is maturing of the saints. It's the same word translated mending in Matthew 4:21. The word mending. They were mending their nets. They were restoring it. Getting it equipped to do the job that the net should be doing. There are people that are saved in the body of Christ today, and they can't function in the body of Christ because they're not equipped by scripturally to do the job that God called them to do. And that's a shame. Paul said there back in Timothy, while you're there in Ephesians, he said in verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body builds itself up in love. Charity Bible Church goal number 2 is to equip people, the saints, and to bring them unto the knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved and what? Come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's a place where the saints can fellowship in the faith, speaking the same things. Quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Notice what Paul says there. You'll find in verse there 9, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgments. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, notice what he says in verse 2. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I beseech Judas and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, God would have unity in the body. We come together. If there's somebody in this body and they don't believe the Word of God rightly divided, and they begin to question it, and again a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, they're not speaking the same thing. You can't fellowship. This is a fellowship of like faith. It's a fellowship where we come together with the same cause. And that cause is we can fellowship in like faith, speaking the same thing. You're not afraid to talk to anybody about the Word of God rightly divided. Isn't that wonderful to have a place like that? Number 4 is a place where saints build up one another. They encourage one another. They strengthen each other. They have a ministry of restitution. Look with me in Galatians. Or restoration. Galatians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Notice what he says. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, jump on him and push him down even further than what he is. Show him who's the boss. Am I reading right? Just checking. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth his own self. Folks, there ain't no doubt about that. That's a restitution. It's restoring such a one. We ought to be a church where men hearts can be mended. We ought to be a church where we strengthen one another, encourage one another, and build up one another. We ought to be able to come here and fellowship one with another. That's my goal. Not to have discord. Not to have big eyes and little ears. It's everybody the same, speaking the same thing. A place where we can come and have our battle wounds healed and have people to encourage us. I'm glad for this place. And it's a place where we meet together. And another reference on that is Ephesians 4:28-32. You want to jot it down and look at it. Ephesians 4:28-32. You know what he talks about? Helping one another. Speaking kindly. Let no corrupt communications come out of your mouth, but that which is of grace, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I enjoy being around people that lift you up, don't you? It seems like God places people in the body for that purpose. They're an encouragement. They have a ministry, a restoration. Then it's a place where we come together and actually wait for the coming of the Lord. One of these days you realize there's many people in the body of Christ that don't even really know the Lord's a coming. They're not looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He told the Thessalonians, we wait, look, wait for the Lord. We're looking for Him. We're coming together and we're encouraging one another. We're strengthening one another. I believe we ought to give flowers where flowers is due. I believe we ought to praise people when praise is due. And I think we got a great church. I think it's the best church in this state. Say, well, I do. I thank God for you people. I pray for you. Aren't you glad you got it? What a place. Now that's my goal. Nothing hard about it, is it? It should be your goals. See where you fit in there. Lord, help me to be an encouragement. Help me to get the gospel out. Help me to stand on them goals. Help me to bring other people to the knowledge of the truth. Help me to wait for your Son from heaven, looking for that blessed hope. Well,